The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday. It's December 18th. It's the last Pro Wrestling Unscripted of the decade.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing one next week either, just for the record. Because it's Christmas.
Yeah, we're taking next week off.
Yeah, we're taking all next week off. So this is it. And boy, welcome to the stretch hour.
No,
welcome
I got,
to Stretch
so
Armstrong
we can,
hour.
When we get through the stories, I have a topic.
Okay.
Right. I've had this kind of hope. It works out that this is the last show of the year.
Okay. We're going to talk about the worst things from the past decade?
No.
Shit.
We're not talking about the past. Fuck the past.
I guess we're going to...
Today,
he's just going to surprise us with it.
Did you know today is yesterday's tomorrow?
Oh my God, I'm Dalton Anthony, yo. I think we identified ourselves.
Oh, yeah, we have to identify.
Hold on, my name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100.
Yeah.
Down at the end of the table, identify yourself.
The five-star man, Ace of Gray.
Next to him, identify yourself.
No.
Okay, so it's me, Asa, and no.
I identified myself already.
What was it?
Dalton Anthony, yo.
Big D?
Oh, the Big D, Dalton. I forget my shit.
Big D, This is Mrs. No. She's here to help tell you about my expensive new suit.
Are you related?
My sexual harassment suit.
Are you related to Dr. No?
She's Miss No Means No. It's a Simpsons
what?
Joke.
Okay. Yeah.
She's here to help me. She's here to help me talk about my expensive new suit. My sexual harassment suit. Yeah. It was the Percocet.
I was really hoping.
Percodan, my bad.
I was really hoping that we were going to leave all the Simpsons talk to yesterday.
No.
Excuse you.
Why would that happen?
Because literally, when
I'm
I got...
sorry. Did the voiceless talk? Because she didn't identify herself.
Yeah, you didn't identify yourself.
So
in fairness. It's special guest NWA's question mark is here.
And it turns out it's a lady.
it's been Allie all along.
And her Filipino too.
When I went home, we watched a couple episodes of The Simpsons last night.
Yeah.
And the intro that he was talking about the evolution one, literally the first episode we turned on, that was the couch gag.
Well, that's nice. That's a good one.
I sent him a text. I sent him a picture of it because he's not on Snapchat. So I just like took a picture and sent it. It's like this. I swear to God, this just happened.
Did you know The Simpsons also has the distinction for having the worst wrestling game of all time? Like, by far.
Yeah, Simpsons Wrestling.
Simpsons Wrestling, I would say, is arguably the worst wrestling game of all time.
Oh!
No, it definitely is.
Backstage Assault is real bad.
It is real bad.
The ECW game was real bad.
It was okay. It was just attitude with
ECW
people.
Backyard Wrestling was real bad.
I never played that one, surprisingly. Never played Backyard Wrestling.
Any of the Game Boy
Wrestling
games.
I did Backyard Wrestle. That's not true. There's that one where you're The Rock and you're beating up construction workers. You're trying to save Stephanie.
Oh, Betrayal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I had that. Mom got me that for Christmas.
Why is beating up wrestlers a trope in wrestling games? Because I was thinking...
beating up
construction
workers?
Yeah.
That's WrestleMania 19 on the GameCube.
Oh, yeah. That was another game. Yeah.
Was that or was it Day of Reckoning?
No.
It was WrestleMania 19.
Okay.
Because I was in fifth grade and that's all I played for like a year.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it was WrestleMania 19.
And Day of Reckoning is when it got good. Because that game was awesome.
My GameCube broke and I never played them.
Oh man, that's sad because that game was like, oh my God, I can't tell you all the amazing things about Day
of
Reckoning.
I don't have it for my Wii now. I have Legends of Wrestling too, but I don't have Day of Reckoning or Day of Reckoning.
I could let you borrow it. I have them because they're worth playing. Like even now,
really?
You could do stuff in Day of Reckoning that you still like. It was one of those games where let's say you got somebody up for a suplex.
Yeah.
And now they do it, I think, but back then they didn't. You could punch them. I could hit the guy that's picking you up for suplex and knock you out of the move.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
in the old SmackDown games, once you were in an animation, that was it.
Yeah.
You were in that animation until it was over.
They started doing that in like 13, 2K14. And all
they
that.
Also had a great mode, yeah, I think it was 2, where when you put somebody in submission, you would flick the stick in one of 4 directions. One was a rest hold, one was like a taunt. You would taunt the crowd while you did the move. One was an actual like go for submission. And your opponent would try to guess which one you were going to do. And if they guessed it correctly, then they would like reverse it. If not, you got the move in. It was a really cool system. It was awesome. Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Day of Reckoning was a fantastic wrestling game.
Yeah, THQ, for all of the issues of a company, Like, they did some really, really cool thing with wrestling. Cool things with wrestling.
Yeah, because Day of Reckoning 2 picked up the story from Day of Reckoning 1.
Yeah.
Your same character.
Carried over.
Yeah.
If you had the save, oh, I remember my God. That.
Destiny 2 can't even do that.
Oh, my God. That is revolutionary.
No, the character carries over, just none of your gear.
Well, you start fresh in Day of Reckoning 2, too.
Oh, okay. Worry. Well, it's just like
Triple H
2.
Screws you over in the end, and you start over, and you're like, oh, I'm going to come for your game. He's like, ugh. Anyway.
He hit you so hard you lost all your talent.
Yeah.
It was the sledgehammer.
He buries you like the Bucks of youth. Or something. I don't know.
Oh, God. I haven't heard that in forever.
Let's talk about wrestling.
Let's talk about
wrestling. We're 5 minutes in.
That's fine.
Only the hardcore Simpsons fans are still here.
Damn it.
There's not a lot of stories.
There's not. This was a slow week.
So I say let's start off. Let's cover TLC to start off.
Okay.
Let's just start with TLC. TLC was on Sunday, and it was a pretty good show. Like, there was some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
There was one thing that was so egregious that I think we'll talk about in the end there. But talk about it. Because I don't remember it now.
It was Asuka pulling down the championships.
No. I mean the other stuff. I remember that.
I thought that was what you were wanting
the
to
one
talk
match.
About. New Day and The Revival had a really good ladder match. I liked that a lot. The Aleister Black Buddy Murphy match was really good. I went back and rewatched it.
Yeah.
Because that match started as we were switching systems.
Yeah.
Because I had it pulled up on the store's Xbox and Shannon was going to use that to play Call of Duty on.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize he wasn't going to just bring his. So we had to switch over to PS4 and like get everything logged in. So we caught like the last like 2-3 minutes of it.
Good match though.
Yeah.
Those guys knocked it out.
I went back and rewatched it. And it is fantastic.
The pre-show match Andrade versus Humberto Calario.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
Teasing that Zelina Vega.
Don't do that. Don't
keep them together.
Yes, keep them together, please.
What if they put her with somebody like, I don't know, Aleister Black?
It'd be funny, but like,
well, then in 4 years, Bobby Lashley's gonna be boink.
God damn it!
No,
they. Oh my God! What if Bobby Lashley moved on from Lana? Was like, well, now that Rusev doesn't want you, I don't want you. And now he's with Vega. If Bobby Lashley is the cucker,
CM Punk was CM Punk was talking about that on backstage, where it's just like, I want Lashley to get sick of her, and then.
They have a match and the loser.
No, yeah, like that kind of situation. Then she, like, all right, then she fucks off, finds a tag team. Lashley and Rusev are best friends now because they both had to deal with that broad. And his words, not mine. And then, like, that's your Mania match is Rusev and Lashley versus insert tag team here.
That match was better than the story. Like, that match was better
than the story
that it's been given, because like they're both really good.
Yeah.
And it, for the most part, it was entertaining. I don't know if the ending was screwed up or not, where he was supposed to spear Rusev through the table.
He was, from what I've read, and he just on the fly.
Yeah, no, they
thought so quickly.
They covered that perfectly, and they were super lucky that other table was all. That's what makes me wonder if it was
supposed to happen.
Yeah, it was supposed to happen or not, because that other table. Is it not Schrodinger's gun?
Schrodinger's table.
No, it's because Schrodinger's not the right name. Chekhov's gun. Chekhov's table.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Chekhov's table. You don't show a gun above the mantle place in a play if it's not going to come into play. Like, if it's not going to be a factor.
It's like one of
those. And wrestling does that a lot, unless it is like they don't pull out tables and set elaborate things up unless it's going to pay off eventually. Oh, God. Unless the payoff is them not doing it.
Yeah.
So that was already there, which was super convenient. And if that was a mess up, they covered that perfectly.
You know what ruined cartoons for me from the old days?
Chekhov's table.
Well, yeah. When you realize that there's always one or two things on the animation that looks different.
Like the rock in the background isn't shaded in like the rest of the other rocks.
And so you know that it's going to be used.
That's the one they're
going to
pick up.
Yeah. Once I figured that out, it's hard to watch cartoons and not just go
you
like.
You turned on CNN and never looked back.
Yeah. Oh. Oh
yeah,
no! Something's going on today.
It's one of those
CNN
things,
right now.
They had to have known that, like, because I think doing a spear through a table is kind of iffy.
Did it?
No, we didn't.
We were going to.
I threw him to it.
I wanted to do the spear, but we were like, well, what if it doesn't work correctly? So I was like, let's throw him.
Yeah, because I didn't trust me throwing a spear. But like, unless you're a Rhino, where you just laid it in every time, some people aren't nearly as like rough with it.
Especially people who have hernias. They're like, hey, maybe don't crush my stomach when you put me through a table.
Yeah, so it was one of those. It was a super slick like transition from table. Oh shit, that didn't break. Belly to belly suplex.
That's because Bobby Lashley's that good. He's the almighty.
He is so
Bobby
good.
Lashley. He went from that and having a little
Leo Rush.
Yeah, I was gonna make a joke about having some little bitch, you know, with him, and now he upgraded to.
But I say, yeah, he's not champion anymore, so we can call him that.
Yeah, well, you know. Lana, meanwhile, getting death threats over all of it, which we'll talk about here
really?
A little bit later.
Yeah.
Apparently. Oh. Getting death threats over the whole angle, because, like, I don't even know so why. Like, what are they mad about? Do they think she's actually cheating on Rusev? Is this a soap opera thing where they, like, slap the actor and, like, you can't do that? And it's like, bitch, I'm an actor.
They work themselves into a shoot.
The kind of person who sends death threats to anyone, much less a character on a TV show, there's no true logic behind it. Like, you'll make yourself crazy trying to figure out their mentality. It's unwell people, but, like, it's unwell, but also, like, super shitty people.
Right.
So, it's a very unfortunate thing. She did an interview on, who was that? I think it was, like, comicbook.com or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they asked her about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, like, I opened up my email today, and there's someone, like, there's another death threat. Just the abominable, like, terrible things that people say to other people because they don't like the story that is being told.
And that's what I was wondering. Is it more of like a, this story sucks and you suck, you should, you know, fucking kill yourself and go to hell? Or is it a, how can you do that to your husband? You horrible whore.
Yeah. I'm sure it's both.
I think it's likely both, but I would give it probably, I would think it's probably more that first one.
Just people that don't appreciate it.
The former.
Yeah. The card was good up to top to bottom for the most part. Like, I don't remember there being anything on there I really didn't like. Probably if I had to pick one thing that I didn't like from the show the most was probably Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin.
Oh, no, I actively disliked that match, and I really didn't like the Universal Championship match either.
I didn't love the Universal match, but I did like the ending of, well, except for the whole, who's that under that hoodie?
Did they do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he hit the running knee with the hoodie.
Oh,
on,
yeah, that's
and
right.
And it stayed on because Daniel Bryan's
well,
because, a wizard.
Well, he also, like, he fixed it because it kind of went down because I saw him, like, grab for it.
Yeah, because it was the whole thing, like, well, who hits the running knee?
Yeah, and that was, like, especially
Mathis
that
does.
Beautiful. It was Roger.
It was Roger.
But, like, why even have him hide, I guess, just to show off that he cut his hair?
So did you watch that episode of SmackDown?
Yeah, where he, like, ripped all of his hair out, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Good cut. For ripping somebody's hair out.
I mean,
but I thought the Roman and Baron Corbin thing was especially bad because it almost felt like that old school, how much can we put Roman over and how badass can we make him look? But at the same time, he lost. So it kind of took the steam away from him at the same time.
But thank God he did. Can you imagine if he ate every single one of their finishers, like the tag team finisher, Ziggler super kick, like end of days, like there was a chair involved.
And then kicked out.
And then he kicked out. Like, because we were watching that. We're like, oh my God, he's about to kick out of all of that.
Yeah.
But
what
he didn't,
thankfully.
Who do you
think you are,
the fiend? The problem, because I didn't even hate the match. Like, I didn't hate the match at all. Like,
the match was fine.
It was fine. What I hated the most was how it's the way it continued into the rest of the show, because it's such a forced Royal Rumble like lead in.
Well, they're all fighting
all
now.
Of a sudden now they're brawling into like the Street Profits, who then they start throwing hands because they got bumped into. The thing that I think is actually going to come from this though is we have now established that everyone on the roster hates Roman.
Yeah, because no one helps.
Baron
him.
Corbin is more helpful, is more
likable,
is more likable than Roman Reigns.
Well, he's a king
until SmackDown. When Roman brings in the Usos.
Oh, yeah.
They've been
he didn't know. He didn't know that he was going to get jumped like that, so he didn't have time to go bail him out.
Gosh.
Whichever one got charged was found not guilty, like, today, I think.
Oh, that's good.
How do you get found not guilty?
Because he denied the breathalyzer test until a lawyer could be present.
So you take that time.
You take that time, it goes down, and then you're rich, so you can afford a really good lawyer to...
Well, good for him. Hopefully he'll be back on the road in no time.
Hopefully not.
No, I meant in a wrestling way.
Oh.
He'll be back on... See, there was a double joke, though.
There was a video of one of the Usos and Seth Rollins that popped up I saw the other day. But yeah, that's why... Because they even said, like... We talked about it on the show briefly, that they are... Like, they're clear, they're back. They're just waiting for a creative to insert them into TV. And this seems like the kind of way that they would do it, because then you have... The New Day go up against whoever the next tag team challengers are. Maybe it's like Heavy Machinery. And then you can have the Revival be... Because now that they've kind of aligned themselves with Corbin, you can have the Usos and Revival. Which, yeah, give me those matches all day, every day.
But I feel... So basically it would be Corbin and the Revival versus the Usos and Roman.
Because I'm willing to bet it was supposed to be Corbin and Ziggler and Rude.
Right.
Until Rude got suspended.
Right.
So
what does that leave Ziggler, do you think?
Lackey again. That's just if they don't have something for you, you're just Corbin's lackey. So Roman can look even better when he defeats Corbin and Ziggler together.
The one thing I hated, it was towards the end of the match, but like Corbin has Roman Reigns on the ground, and there's just three dudes just standing there, not doing anything. They're just standing there like they're waiting for the fucking bus. Like, there's a part in it where I literally said, like, I think it was right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, right before the pinfall happened. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? They're literally just
Corbin's got it handled. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
But
trust their boss.
Like, if the roles were reversed, like, Reigns was unloading on Corbin and they were just standing there, I'd have more of a problem with it. But, like, just because they're out there doesn't mean they need to be actively doing something always.
It's one of those things where it's just like... Because at the back of our head, we all thought he's gonna win,
mm-hmm.
and because I even said like he's gonna be Kota Ibushi from Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
he is gonna get his win back at the Royal Rumble when it's Corbin and Reigns are the last two.
I'm not worried about that. I just hated
how
the visual
he's
of
a
it.
Chihuahua. You saw that video.
He smells so badly of dog food that it overwhelms Corbin, and he eliminates himself to get away from the smell.
That's been stupid. And gross.
Yeah, using dog food in a wrestling storyline is dumb.
It's gross.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
No, it's gross. He's gross too.
I reached all the way back to Al Snow and Big Boss Man, and I was like, "Is that what he's?"
Well, that wasn't
doing
dog food.
That was dog food.
That was dog ass food. So, Allie, back in 1999,
the dog's name was Pepper.
So,
I want some pepper steak?
God damn it! You're taking all the gags away from me.
Go it, Gagger.
So Big Boss Man, who's a bad guy at this point, steals Al Snow's dog,
Pepper.
It's a little chihuahua. And he tells Al Snow like a week or two later that, hey, I found your dog.
Asa, go.
Question.
Answer.
Was Big Boss Man ever a good guy?
Yeah,
in the late 80s. And early 90s. Yeah, when he was the blue Cobb County Georgia sheriff.
See, I thought he was... No,
because
he was a good guy.
Because I've seen his matches and stuff, but...
He was facing like the late 80s, early 90s, went to WCW, became Big Bubba Rogers, came back as the SWAT team Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
Shield Boss Man heel...
See, I knew that.
See,
that's the Boss Man I knew.
Yeah.
I just assumed that.
No, I didn't know that either until like the net. Well, I knew it. Like, I'm probably teenage years. Mm-hmm. But like, whatever, Big Boss Man, that was just always a heel. Ray Traylor's just a son of a bitch.
I forgot his name was Big Bubba Rogers, but I remember him. I remember he was a good guy in WCW.
He was also
a
bad guy.
Was he?
Well, not at first, because he was also the Guardian Angel.
Yeah, that's right.
And anyway, he became a bad guy in the NWO.
All right, so Big Boss Man.
He was in the NWO. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So Big Boss Man. Steals Al Snow's dog, Pepper.
Hard time.
And like a week or two later says like, hey, I found your dog. Because like Al Snow just thought he lost his dog. Why you take your dog on the road, I don't know, but I'm splitting hairs here.
I think you're wrong about that though. I think he absolutely kidnapped his dog and said he wanted to make up for it. So come over and I'll cook you dinner.
Oh, that could be
it. He didn't lose his dog.
And he said like, hey, I have your dog. Like, come over, get him. We'll have dinner. We'll make up over it. So he gives him like, oh yeah, I know I cooked this for you. It's a pepper or it's steak. And like he starts eating it and he was like, so where's my dog? And he's like, oh yeah, you're eating him. It's pepper steak.
Was it in mac and cheese?
It was world famous mac and cheese.
God, what's famous about it?
It's that entire skit. You know, yeah. Like, well, of course Al Snow would love eating pepper.
Yeah.
And then he went on to Big Boss Man. He made him serve hard time. And then they had the
Kennel from Hell match,
which is widely regarded as the most embarrassing probably wrestling match on a mainstream show ever, because there were supposed to be all these dogs surrounding the cage. And
vicious, bloodthirsty, rabid dogs.
They're fucking, they're pissing
they're
on the
peeing
ground.
Peeing everywhere because they're terrified.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad.
They're doing everything but being vicious.
They even tried to force the dog to bite one of them, basically. And the dog was just like, no.
No, he ain't doing nothing wrong.
I want no part of this.
Yeah, at least they were better than Cody. They didn't put live pyro next to the dog.
It was bad.
But like,
it was
bad. That was a shit show because it was a cage. It's actually kind of a neat concept, minus like the dog thing. Because like it was a cage and then there was like a Hell in a Cell around it, but it was open.
It was a cage in a cage.
Yeah.
And then they hung Big Boss Man later.
Nope. That was Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania against Taker.
Was that before or after?
After.
Yeah. That's what I mean. They hung him eventually.
Later.
Fuck.
Eat a dick.
She's throwing some pepper shade.
Would you kill a dog? Did you kill a dog? And then
how did we get here?
How did we get here?
Dog food.
Oh, okay.
And then
And then Big Boss Man would later go on to pull the Big Show's daddy's coffin behind his car.
God.
Remind me that I want to make Brandon mad at me and ask him how the dog food was.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be shitty towards him because now he's a dick.
And also, he interviewed Big Show's mom and made her confess that Big Show was a bastard. And he's like, see, I told you he was a bastard. Your mama just said so. It was the dumbest thing.
God, I need to find.
And then he stole Big Show's dead dad's coffin, at the funeral.
Which Big Show then jumped on and surfed on as he drove away. Mm-hmm. So they have the funeral, right?
I'm pretty sure I've seen the
clip. Oh, my God. They have this fucking funeral. And Big Show or Boss Man pulls up in like his cop car. And he's got one of those walkie-talkies that blares the audio out. And Big Boss Man... terrible angle, but my God, wasn't he amazing?
So he did a eulogy for Big Show's dad,
which Hunter read once on the air.
I have it. I'm going to read it today.
Read it in the entirety of it.
With the deepest regrets and tears that are soaked, I'm sorry to hear that your dad finally croaked. He lived a full life on his own terms. Soon he'll be buried and eaten by worms. But if I could have a son as stupid as you, I'd have wished for cancer so I would die too. Oh, I didn't read ahead. So be brave and be strong. And get your life on track, because the old bastard's dead and ain't ever coming back. I forgot about the cancer.
Yeah, dude. I did too.
Ooh. And see, I wasn't reading ahead.
90s.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading as I went.
Again, what made it, even though it was absolutely terrible, was just how amazing. Because Big Boss Man was completely devoted to it.
Yeah, it's the Goldust thing. Like, he was committed.
Yeah. There's an amazing story about Big Boss Man, where it was whenever he was with Dusty in, like, Florida, like, in the territory days, where he was, like, Dusty's bodyguard. And he was opening the door for Dusty and shut the door and shut his hand in the door and then no-sold it until he got to the locker room. And then went to the back and, like, was bitching about it. And Dusty's like, why didn't you say anything? Then he was like, well, I didn't want anybody to see I was hurt. And I was like, and that story alone is why Big Boss Man is, like, one of my all-time greats.
He's also one of my all-time
last Boss
greats.
Man thing, and then we're moving on.
We can talk about Boss Man for the entire
Yeah, but
hour.
We're moving on.
Hard time.
The picture of his daughter on his daughter posted a picture of the of her kid holding the Boss Man action figure.
The face Boss Man action figure.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like the wrestling buddy?
No, like an actual,
actual
like an,
toy?
It was an elite. It was an elite. Right. It was a Toys R Us elite that I never
it's
found.
Like she doesn't know it's her granddad yet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh.
God, that's one of those things. It's like, he's one of those wrestlers that I can't believe he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he died a long time
ago. He died a long time ago. 2004? Young. Like,
2004, 2005? Oh.
God, that's sad. All right, well, anyway.
Well, now I'm Googling that.
Back to Tills.
Yeah. What else happened on TLC? I didn't mind the Universal Championship match at all.
I just want to get rid of
it. It was interesting. Like, there, it's not how I would like, if I were in charge of it, that's not how I would book Sweater Wyatt.
Yeah.
But I, like...
Well, parts of it were fun.
It was unique enough that I thought it was, like, it was interesting enough that it didn't need to be great. My only real gripe with it is this is a man who invaded your home, has terrified your baby daughter, and, like... It's the thing we always complain about when these feuds get super personal, but the face still comes up and does all their poses
yeah.
and points.
Well, they got to get their entrance in.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's.
Although he did have a lot of fire when the match started. Miz played his role pretty well. And I think my favorite part of that match was, and I hope he incorporates it more, was when he got his arm dislocated or whatever, mm-hmm. and he starts running it into the wall
to put it back in.
Like, that's a good move, because that shows his insanity, and he's laughing about it. Mm-hmm. That's clever. I like that. I think it's time to get rid of Harlequin's hammer. I just don't like it.
Yeah, that was...
That's silly. Mm-hmm. I guess he's a clown, and the funhouse hammer, I don't know. I thought that was stupid.
I'm curious to see what happens with Daniel Bryan.
I am too.
There was a local...
Because everyone's saying he's the American Dragon now. Will they go that far and say, I am the American Dragon?
Give him the final countdown, you cowards. You're billionaires now. You can afford it.
And the cape.
And the cape.
Give him the cape.
Local ads for the Royal Rumble are advertising...
He wore a cape.
Fiend versus Miz versus Daniel Bryan in a triple threat.
That's a fantastic match. Especially if Miz plays the tweener role.
And I love the fact that he acknowledged, like, I don't like Daniel Bryan. I have never liked Daniel Bryan.
They're suddenly not friends just because
because they're on the same side, right. Which is my biggest,
one of our favorite things to
pet
tear apart.
In wrestling, yeah.
Speaking of things that I hate in wrestling, and this is the thing I want to talk about the most, because Ace and I said this at the show, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, you know, maybe a few people pick up on this, but it's actually, from what you said, it's caught steam.
Yeah.
At the end of the match between the tag team women's championship match with Becky and Charlotte versus Asuka and Kairi, mm-hmm. Kabuki Warriors, first off, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was hard hitting. It was a good match in certain ways. In brutality, mm-hmm. it was fantastic.
And there were some really clever spots. Like them tying Becky to the ladder
was cool.
Awesome. Like, I love that.
Asuka keeping Kairi up while she did stuff.
Yeah.
Which I thought, oh, that's a great attention to detail that mm-hmm. she's doing. But in reality, Kyrie's actually hurt. And now we'll never know how that match would have gone
right.
if not for that concussion.
And for like for what they were working with, like it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And
fuck
it's
Charlotte,
easy,
by
and
the way.
It's easy to point fingers, and it's easy to point fingers, and it's easy to like to say, oh, the ref should have stepped in, you know. Charlotte should have protected her more, because there's even video of like fan camera of Becky rolling
her
Kyrie under the ring to keep her away from everything for a little bit. But like the match should have been stopped at a certain point. And we don't know for sure what happened. Like Eric Stevens, who used to be in ROH and has done like his comeback tour recently, yeah. Like he talked about is like people are pointing fingers like, oh, Kyrie should have said something. It's like when you're concussed, you don't you may not even realize it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he talked about going through finishing out a match and someone saying like, man, I can't believe you took that gut-wrench powerbomb. Like even while you were concussed, he's like, I took a gut-wrench powerbomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's wrestling super dangerous in general. And the mentality of you have to continue even if you're hurt. needs to go away, and I know that's probably like especially among wrestlers that's probably not a good opinion. Not a popular opinion,
yeah,
but
yeah.
But first and foremost you are humans and your safety comes before the show.
Was it Hunter that posted it in the group chat or was it UA so that posted the thing of every wrestler wants to like prove themselves until they have to set up a GoFundMe because of injuries?
I don't think it was me.
No, it was Hunter, but it was because I think I was going to a show that night and it was something like
because he addressed it to me and you specifically.
Yeah, it was like something along the lines of like, yeah, getting hurt's a badge of honor until you have to set up the GoFundMe account.
Which is true. And it is true because I even recently have tried to put myself into what I know will be a bad situation because I want to prove myself. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why? You know, street cred.
Also, just real quick, and this is unrelated because it's not like this didn't happen in a match or anything, but guy out of, I think it's Tennessee, Marcus Crane.
Yeah, yes.
Suffered a really, really bad brain injury. Like, yeah. It just kind of came out of nowhere. He does have a GoFundMe that, like,
we're doing well, thank God.
I've never met him, but, like, seeing the amount of people that I do know and care about that are posting about him, like, he seems like he's a really, really great guy and he could really, really use the help. So, yeah. You can just, if you Google Marcus Crane GoFundMe, that if there's anything that you can do.
If you are fans of ours and you are friends with some of the people we're friends with, mm-hmm. I mean, I know Big Lee Montgomery had it on his page.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Chris Jones had it on his page. Mm-hmm. So you can find a lot of their pages too.
But like to go back to like what you were saying, because like when we were talking about it in the group chat, I put a lot of blame on the people ringside.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I've been in situations in the ring where something bad happened and the first thing the ref does because the ref is doing their job is saying, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in every situation that I've ever been in where something bad happened, my first instinct was to say, yeah, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
You're still breathing, ain't you?
Well, not even... No, it's not even me being tough. It's just like I slipped off the second rope and landed exclusively on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry asked me if I was okay, and I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3 hours later, I was fucked up.
Yeah, but you had the adrenaline going.
But I had the adrenaline going. So, like, I wouldn't be upset with Kyrie if she mm-hmm. said, no, I'm good. Because, hell, whenever my tooth shattered through my lip,
mm-hmm.
Lane asked me, oh, God, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. It's just blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's your brain is kicked into a different zone.
No one's mad at Kyrie, are they?
Well, no, nobody's mad at Kyrie, but like,
That's not what I was trying to say. Yeah, like, I was trying to put blame on her.
But people are like, well, she should have said something. Well, mm-hmm. She probably didn't fucking know. And, like, it's one of those things, you know, you don't know if mm-hmm. you have a concussion. Like, we've had conversations.
And that's the, that's why I kind of, like, I know I would put if there's anyone that is to blame, like if you have to assign blame to someone, I would say it is probably I would give it to, like you said, the people at ringside. But at the same time, like if they check on her, hey, are you OK? And they say yes. What do you really do?
What are you supposed to do?
Because then it isn't until later when you see her like take that spear or not go up for the powerbomb and like things like that. And then at a certain but then how do you step into like this is one of those times like I wish Lane was here. To talk to him about, like, what would he have done? And, like, how would you, as a referee, realize you need to communicate to now three other people, like, hey, shit's fucked.
It's super easy if you want me to tell a story. Like,
yeah.
I was wrestling in a match in Illinois, and a guy hit a drop kick. And we talked that he's going to hit me with the drop kick from the second rope, pin me. I'm mm-hmm. going to kick out super fucking quick. And he drop kicked me, and I'm just sitting there. Like, I bump, and I'm on the ground, and I'm like, all right, cool. Why is nobody pinning me? This is like 2 seconds gone by. Nobody's pinned me yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel a limp body roll on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Duke I'm pretty sure he concussed himself on the dropkick.
Mm-hmm.
And in that split moment, I basically picked, I pulled a Bree Bella, and I didn't do anything wrong. Like when Bree mm-hmm. Bella kicked the shit out of Liv Morgan,
mm-hmm.
I picked him up, and then I made it look like he drug me back to my corner.
Yeah.
And, or no, I drug him to his corner and tagged in Heath.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. I said, we both agreed that he was hurt. Lane then said it to me, Heath, and Roger.
Right.
And we just kind of worked around it. Now, he did have to get back in the ring, and it was with me. And I straight up asked him, can you take a clothesline? Now, this was like a good 5 minutes later.
Right.
And he said, yeah, just don't hit me hard.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, cool. So I brushed him on a clothesline, and then he hit me with a curb stomp, and we were good to go. It's one of those that, like, there should have been somebody to step in and been like, no, you're not. Because there was about two or three moments where that concussion could have happened. In any yeah. one of those three moments, anybody that has two eyes knew something happened.
This is the problem I have with scripted sports versus something like boxing, where yeah, in yeah. boxing, if a boxer takes a bad hit, if the ref sees something might be wrong,
it can end.
They will stop the fight. Yeah. They will sit him down. They will have a doctor come out and look at him. They'll continue the fight if he's okay.
Right.
But they will pause the fight completely. You can't really do that in wrestling. You yeah. can't just like stop the match, someone come out, give the test to the wrestler, and then go, okay, go. Because wrestling is under a time limit. Everything's already planned out. You have to stick to the script, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. In a real fight, once you're okay, go back to fighting. You have 12 rounds.
There's so many things. Like that is something that like they could begin to implement.
Which they should,
take,
maybe.
But it would take so long for wrestling fans to accept.
Right.
Because, like...
We remember the Joe fight.
Yeah, yeah. Let Joe bleed or whatever
which,
it was.
Yeah, yeah let them fight, you know. But it's... That was it. But that was because, you know, it was something by accident. Like... what was it? When they started stopping matches during commercials to make it more sports-like, internet revolted.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it totally breaks up the flow and, like... Because wrestling is different than boxing. It's a different style of storytelling. So, like, if they could try it, but it may not necessarily translate very well.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
But
I think at some point you have to put the safety of the workers above the fan satisfaction.
No, yeah.
You know
and,
I mean?
Like, and like I said, that, like, that's my initial point is, like, that is the priority, I think, right. always, is the safety of the wrestlers.
Because that even happens that way in boxing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you watch boxing, because I'm a big boxing fan. I grew up on boxing. Whenever the boxers stop hitting each other and mm-hmm. they slow down or, you know, whatever, crowd will start to boo.
Yeah.
The crowd wants blood. UFC's the same way. Mm-hmm. When people stop hitting each other and getting violent, they will rebel against it. And they want to see people just, they don't care who gets hurt. They just, they it's a
yeah, yeah.
it's a race car where they want to see people crash.
And with UFC too, like, they're, because they still are on the pay-per-view model, they have a set amount of time. Like, yeah. they have until midnight because that assumes every single fight they have is going all rounds.
To a decision. Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can have an event that's supposed to go off the air at midnight end at 9:30 because, like, six people got knocked out in the first.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's in, whereas, you know, WWE, now that they have the network, we were super confused what the main event was going to be.
Right.
Because this match started before 9.
Yeah.
Like, we had time to do a couple games of Call of Duty after the show.
We were playing Call of Duty during the main event going like, is this the main event?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
holy shit.
Because it's
I'm gonna have to stop my game.
There was a lot of moments in that where Kairi shouldn't have been in. Like, just like personally, like from my knowledge of what's going on, there should like, she did not need to be in there. Asuka very well could have handled it. Mm-hmm. You have your three top women mm-hmm. wrestlers in the company. I'm sorry, there's not anybody better than one of those three. And you're telling me they couldn't work around somebody being gone. Would it have been difficult? Yeah. Could Becky, Charlotte, and Asuka pulled it off? They fucking should.
I mean, especially Asuka. Her character would make sense that she could fight two people off at once.
Yeah. Which they've kind of capitalized on it on Raw with Becky's interview, saying, you know, that until she can beat Asuka, she's not really herself. She's not really the man because she knows Asuka has her number.
Do you feel like there was any part of Kairi that chose to go on because she was kind of the junior in the match? Not in the sense that she isn't incredibly talented and like, you know, has her own legacy, of course. But like when you compare her in WWE to Asuka, Becky, and Charlotte, she's definitely the one that everyone went, one of these things is not like the other.
I wouldn't know if it was necessarily because she felt like she had something to prove as much as just it's the wrestler mentality.
Yeah, she wanted...
You work hurt, you finish the match.
Yeah, it's not even the work and hurt thing. I think it's just the finishing the match. It's just like, all right, this match isn't over yet. Because like...
Triple H finished the match when he tore his quad.
There's so many fucked up
Sin Cara stories. Did not finish the match when he hurt his finger.
And you know, and like...
And he got shit for it, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Everyone made fun of him.
In retrospect, man, like, yeah, that guy was kind of shitty, but, like, good on him. He wasn't going to fuck his hand up more.
Yeah, injury's an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know? I'm not going to shit on somebody for having a broken finger and not finishing a match. Fuck all that noise. It hurts. Like,
everything hurts.
Yeah, you're not
wrong.
And if
you wrestle, everything will hurt forever. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about this forever, though, because we haven't even got to the part we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're already 35 minutes into the show, mm-hmm. which was at the end, after this brutal, hellacious match, you had Asuka pull both tag titles off by herself,
mm-hmm.
completely dominant. This was the Asuka we kind of wanted since she came up from NXT, you know?
Yeah.
And almost immediately cut away from that. No time to even praise her.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we can show Roman and the boys wrestling. Could you not
brawling
have given...
and fight,
like,
yeah.
I mean, come on. You could have given her 10 seconds to celebrate before you switched over the camera angle.
You could have given her a full 5-minute celebration because the show ended at like 9:15.
Right. And instead, they chose to cut her off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. To me, it was demeaning.
Yeah.
It completely took the wind and the out of the sails of that match.
It happened the same... Like, it happened when... It was, she won, I think it was at TLC, and that's when Ronda Rousey made her debut.
Yeah.
That was the
whole, at the WrestleMania.
That
sign.
Was the whole story.
Yeah.
Taken
aggressively.
Off there. And there was one, and that was at TLC. There was one more, like, big win that she had.
Was it the Rumble?
Yes. But I don't remember what they did to interrupt it.
That was Charlotte, or that was Rousey.
That was Rousey.
Rumble
was Rousey. What was TLC then? Because there was a TLC that she, like, won the title, and something immediately happened that overshadowed her.
Oh, balls.
But I can't remember what it was. But, like, she's gotten kind of the shaft on her
multiple
celebrations.
Times.
Like, she's had these huge moments that have been then just...
Because this, I feel like this is,
shattled.
It's not an iconic moment, but it's a
big moment.
But
it's a huge
moment.
It is the final main event
of
the
year,
decade. Of the decade.
Women, all women.
Yeah.
And
I think it was Bayley or Sasha that even pointed out that, like, the Women's Tag Team Championship debuted this year, and now it's main eventing the last pay-per-view of the decade.
Allie... To you,
uh-huh.
Because do you remember how you were a little upset when
James Ellsworth,
stole the title in the first ever Women's Money in the Bank match, right? Do you put this on the same level as that? Do you think they actively like said, "Who cares? Let's go to the boys"? Was it accidental? Was it poor timing? What do you think it was?
I
know you don't know, but what is your thought on it?
It feels like a okay, they're done. They got their moment, even though it was like 2 seconds of a moment. To go back to this thing that no one really cared about, just they were men.
Are you saying no one cared about the Street Profits brawling?
But they want smoke.
They
with
want
the
that smoke.
With the 24/7 title people and
yeah. The only thing I
what a disservice to those women.
The only thing I would say in its defense versus like the James Ellsworth thing. Is like at the end of the the Money in the Bank moment can't be dubbed over. Like they can't fucking fix that in any way, shape, or form to make that okay.
This they can still show.
They can show this in a year and not show that brawl at the end.
Yeah.
And like slow mo those 2 seconds that she got and mm-hmm. be like, and that was the last main event of 2019 or of the 2010s.
What a great thing for the women's revolution and for Asuka and all the. Oh, never mind. What's Roman doing? When Roman's not on screen, like the announcers and commentators should be asking, "Where's Roman?" You know
they did during somebody else's match.
It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. And shame on them.
The worst part is that they totally telegraphed it whenever they said
they're still
like,
fighting back.
I've got an exclusive word through my headset that the Roman Reigns and King Corbin are still brawling backstage, and I honestly thought that was going to like it was going to affect the match. I thought it was going like this was going to end in like a no contest. Like Becky's about to pull over. Like, pull the belts down.
And the guys come
out. And then
out.
The guys come in, and it's all chaotic and ends up knocking the ladder over. And then
you know what would have been awesome? Is if they would have brawled into the ring while Asuka was celebrating, and Asuka just kicked the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, all the women just teamed up and just started wrecking the roster.
That would actually be really cool. And then Asuka puts herself in, like, the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been badass. I would have liked that. Because intergender wrestling has become such a thing now. It's no one's even blinking an eye, really. Like, it's on good. Almost every indie show now has mm-hmm. some sort of intergender wrestling,
good.
Whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I vary on it. Right. I vary on it.
I get the criticisms of it, like the not the criticisms that it's not believable, because it's professional wrestling and Rey Mysterio has beaten Brock Lesnar and the
like
big show.
Yeah.
So
well, plus they never do that match. Whenever people say like, well, why would you know pick women wrestler? Why would Sasha Banks ever beat Brock Lesnar? Sasha Banks isn't wrestling Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Even on the indies,
mm-hmm.
it's not Sasha Banks versus Brock Lesnar. It's like Mikey versus I forget her name, and I'm so sorry.
I know
about
who you're
that.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Or Seisheen versus Trent's a good example. Like,
well, hell, even the first time that we saw anything intergender at CCW,
it was
Billy and Lil Bit.
Yeah.
And they made that make sense. Like, right. That is a pretty substantial size difference, but they made it work right. Because they know what story to tell with it.
Right. So if you had, say, Sheen fight Brock Lesnar, and say Sheen dominated him toe-to-toe in a fist fight, yeah, that would be bullshit. No one would believe it.
Yeah.
But a good booker will book around it and make it make sense.
Yeah, and like the criticisms that I can understand, I don't necessarily have them, but like when the people say, because I think it was Cody or is it Hunter maybe? I don't, someone in the group chat that said that they just don't really like seeing
the men
beat up on women, and how that can be very uncomfortable to see, especially for like, you know, that can be a triggering thing for people who've like suffered abuse, and
I get that,
I get that, I understand it. I don't necessarily hold that belief, but like I would never knock someone having
plus,
it.
Plus, I think how they do it changes it too. If it was a man versus a woman, and the woman's beating on him, and the guy hits her one time, and she falls down, covers her face, and like looks like he's being beaten.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times, like take Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan. Yeah, that's going to be a competitive ass match.
They've been having that match for like a year now.
Yeah. There's no way someone's going to watch that match and go, "Oh, that poor girl."
Yeah, no.
You know, that's like, not going to happen.
And the awesome thing is, it's becoming more of a not an intergender like match thing. Like it's, I mean, it still is obviously, but it's becoming. Active competitor versus other active competitor. Look at Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan.
Like they're knocking the wall down.
Like, it's say what you will about Sami Callihan, love him or hate him, but like...
I love to hate him.
He makes her look amazing.
He makes her look amazing. He does what he needs to do for her without making it look not believable.
Plus, she is believable. Like, Tessa Blanchard is badass.
You really could not pick a better... like pioneer for intergender wrestling than Tessa Blanchard.
Like you, she's not the only one right now going. Like, you have people like Jordynne Grace, like...
Candice LeRae.
Yeah. Like, and people sleep on her for that. Like, she was fucking insane.
Did you see Joey Ryan's tweet about Tessa Blanchard?
Uh-uh.
I am now the third best. I now consider myself the third best intergender wrestler. But he put, like, intergender wrestler in quotes. Like, that's not a title.
The first two?
Candice LeRae and then Tessa Blanchard.
Okay. Yeah. That's neat. I like Joey Ryan.
Yeah.
That's just a cool dude.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, people shit on him, but he at least, like...
And again, you cannot like the style of match he wrestles.
But you can like the man, because we've met him. We've all met him. Yeah. He's incredibly nice. Dalton, he was your tag team partner.
Oh, he's sweetheart.
Again, I told Asa this today. I was editing the match with Jackson and Otis, where Raven's there. And Asa's calling the match and like, you know, oh, Raven's. I was like, did you ever think you would be calling a match where you were talking about Raven? And it's like, think of where we all came from. We came from the bottom. Now we're here. At the top? I don't know. How's that song go?
Oh, yeah.
Texting 11.
Hotline Bling.
Degrassi. Fuck. All right, let's move on. So that was disgusting and, like, absolutely terrible. And shame on WWE for doing it, but, like, what do we really expect? Let's move on with other stuff, though. We actually have some news stories to talk about in the last 20 minutes. First off.
Yeah, my topic got buried.
Oh, no. Watch me torch
no,
the
news
real quick.
No, it's not that important.
Kazuchika? Mm-hmm. Okada. I wasn't making a joke. I always mispronounce his name. It's going to be an Olympic torchbearer. That's cool.
It's the first time the torch is going to be scared.
It's the first time something hotter than the torch was there.
No, he's the rainmaker. It's going to be cold.
The 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
Sochi, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. It's Tokyo.
Oh, is it Tokyo?
I think so.
Oh, I think Sochi was the Winter Olympics.
I found out in the best way. My really excited girlfriend yelled at me at 10 o'clock at night last night. Okada, because Okada's like her favorite wrestler.
So you're just sitting there in bed and you wake up because she's in the bed screaming, Okada! Okada! And you're just like, this is how I knew it would happen.
I don't know. My thought was, I'm going to meet Okada. It's cool.
You're going to meet Okada?
No. Well, I mean, if he was... Anyway.
Yeah, it is in Tokyo.
We gave him just enough time to figure it out.
No, because like, I'm pretty sure it said Tokyo, but yeah. So that's super cool that he gets to do that. Like, that is a historic thing. He is joining such prolific names as carrying the torch as Hank Hill.
God damn it. Good pull.
Like that one.
Yeah.
10 points.
He wasn't a hero like that guy that lost a lot of weight, though. that Olympic off topic is going to be hot. Because you know who else is going to be there? I think like Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be there, like Goku, Sailor Moon. That thing's going to be hot.
You know who's not going to be there?
Who's that?
Russia.
Bastards. Anyway, Street Profits re-signed with WWE and New Day signed 5-year deal. Very cool. Very cool. Not unexpected. Number 8 on Brian Zane's Wrestling with Regret shittiest 2019 was Kofi's loss to Brock. Because he mentioned what a great year he had, what a great title run he had,
yeah.
And then he was dismissed, and they barely even mentioned it. Like, it just, they just
The only thing that really ever acknowledged history. The only thing that ever acknowledged it was a very subtle thing that he did that I would put my entire savings account and my checking account and any money that I make in the future that he did on his own, and it wasn't scripted.
Oh, he's because the
they talked about the power of positivity and working his way through, and when he crumbles the pancake that's in his hand. Because he's got his arm around like Woods or B.E., I don't remember. And he's like, yeah, through the power of positivity, everything's okay. And you just see him white-knuckling the pancake that's in his hand as it just crumbles to the ground. Because it wasn't traditional pro wrestling where everything's exaggerated. Like, this right. was a very subtle thing that he just kind of did.
Something you had to look for?
Yeah.
Because,
yes, it was terrible, and he deserved better than that. His run deserved better than that. Because he had a really good run.
He did.
If not unremarkable. Like, he was booked amazing,
way better than any other smaller competitor I can think of.
But so, but for him to win, like, you know, the tag team champions again and retain those in TLC, like, to close out the year, like, that was nice. And like, Kofi's, there's like a crazy percentage of like his time in WWE as champion.
It's big.
It's like more than half. Yeah, it's like 58% or something like that.
Short of his loss to Brock Lesnar,
I think that's R-Truth that was.
Well, that covers the
24/7 title.
Short of his loss to Brock Lesnar, Kofi Kingston has been booked so well in WWE. Like, he's always made to look strong. He really is, like, yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, like, there was whenever the New Day first turned heel, like, they kind of did some stuff with him that was like, ah, that was a bummer.
Remember when they obliterated, like, the Dudleys and John Cena and, like, one other person?
With Rollins?
No, like, it was just the three of them just, like, ran through the
was
roster.
This, was this when they were faced and we thought they were turning heel?
No,
or
they were just
No, they were heels because they took out Cena. And then Cena literally just was like, you did good. And then just dismissed them and nothing ever happened with it then.
Yeah. Nice.
It's like, what the hell?
Do you remember when Hollis Jarreau was the old day
no,
with A Clay?
Because that segment never happened.
Yeah. And they talked about how they got the PP beaten out of them, the power of positivity.
My favorite thing is I made a joke about that sometime this year, and A Clay was standing by me. He's like, I was in it too. And I was like, what?
Because none of us recognized Aaron. Nope. We all saw Hollis, but none of us recognized Aaron.
That's the most A Clay thing that could have happened to him at that moment, and that's what made me happier.
I should have known something was up when the New Day wasn't wearing shoes, not pants. Anyway, Piper Niven.
Niven?
Okay. Suffers Bell palsy attack, and I think she was, didn't she just reveal she has Bell's palsy? Like, it was a new thing.
Yeah.
She was making fun of it, which is a shame.
Fun of her own diagnosis. She wasn't making fun of Bell's palsy.
No.
JR
and then,
did
like,
the same thing.
Yeah, well, you have to.
And
I
did
mean,
did you see him, like, tweet to her?
Uh-uh.
Like, because she posted it and he retweeted it with, like, a really nice message to her.
Oh, God.
God, I hope Vince never finds out she has it, because you remember what they did with JR?
She's an active member on their UK roster.
The only thing more offensive than what Vince did with JR was what WCW did with JR with Oklahoma. Which, son of a bitch, Ed Ferrara, you piece of shit. Anyway, I wish nothing but the best to her. That's sad news, but I'm hoping she makes the best of it. I mean, it's not like a death sentence or anything. It's just super unfortunate.
But it can be very, very serious.
It can be debilitating.
It's something that kind of ranges person to person of how
much affects them.
Yeah.
And she's super young too, isn't she?
She's like, I think she's like a little bit younger than me.
Yeah. Oh. Marty Scurll.
Scurll.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's Scurll.
Yeah.
It's like Brett Favre instead of Favre.
Yeah.
He appeared at the NWA pay-per-view, Hard to Kill.
Yep.
Nope. You said to stop saying that.
Into the fire. Paper. Yeah.
Before the show, he said, don't say that. And I said it anyway.
Yeah, because I got the dates wrong on Hard to Kill. Into the Fire. Yeah, Into the Fire was the.
Which I didn't get to see, but I heard was good.
Was the show. And he stood up to Nick Aldis.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he kind of went face to face. Also, speaking of NWA, I'm jumping down. They revealed that they are bringing back the television championship.
That gorgeous, gorgeous television.
Does
title.
This
looks
that
really,
involves...
really nice? Yes, maybe, okay. Potentially.
Okay.
Because they announced that they're going to do a tournament, and it's they're going to do a
we
tournament.
We don't want to spoil it.
Because it was a reveal at a taping.
Yeah.
They're doing a tournament. They announced it's like Colt Cabana, the question marks in it. Tim Storm.
Okay, so
I can't remember who all's in it. But it was revealed that Nick Aldis is also entering the tournament.
So I don't get to watch Power as much. I watch Power when I can, and I know it's on YouTube, so like I could watch it anytime.
Wait, NWA's on YouTube?
I get it.
High five. It's nice. But
I get the sound effect for you guys.
I don't know this question mark thing. Like, I know it, but like I don't know how to feel about it. It seems very dumb to me. Am I the only one that thinks it's kind of dumb? Okay,
I
moving
don't know
on.
Much about it, so I don't.
That's
have
how I don't watch Power.
It's over. Like, people are into it.
It's almost as good as The Librarians.
Oh, Leva Bates. Womp, womp. Peter Avalon.
I'm about to say, I like him too.
Anywho. So, congratulations to Marty Scurll. Do you expect Marty? Did you see this coming?
I thought he'd go to AEW. I don't think.
I also don't think it's going to be permanent. I don't think he's like signing a multi-year deal, because even I think it was Cody mentioned, like, okay, we need to talk about it. And he talked about how whatever Marty's next move is, he doesn't know if it's going to be long-term or what his plans for the future are. He's very happy for him. He'll do great anywhere he goes. So I think he is kind of doing he's leaving ROH. He's now doing a stopover in NWA, and then he'll eventually find his way to AEW.
Which I think is super cool.
But that's also kind of like what everyone assumes, because he's such good friends with all of the All Elite guys. Like, why? It's a given. So maybe he is just going to sign with NWA. That would be pretty crazy. Speaking of NWA AEW crossover, do you know who is special guest commentator for AEW Dark tonight?
Huh.
Colt Cabana.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, NWA does not sign people to exclusive contracts, is what I was told today.
I don't know.
I know Thunder Rosa wrestles still in independent shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's an independence thing.
And it may not be everybody. Like, and it may not be they don't sign everybody to exclusive contracts.
Because I assume all this would probably be exclusive.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Stevens.
Maybe.
But it also may just be that's the only place that they want to wrestle.
Yeah.
So they don't take outside bookings.
The really cool thing about the Aldis and Marty Scurll thing is they did, back during All In, they were doing the Being the Elite every week. Mm-hmm. And the running gag was like, Marty's not going to beat Okada. He is a cruiserweight. Okada went by and did the 205 and all that. Aldis was one of the people that was actively fucking with him about that.
Yeah.
Like on the show.
Yeah.
Like on Being the Elite. So it's cool that they're kind of, they might not be doing that intentionally. It may just be like, oh, look at this new toy we got. Let's put him up against our big toy.
Yeah.
But I think that's, I mean, if I'm they play into it at all, that's going
to
be cool.
I'm curious to see how it goes and where he ends up, because I really like him. He was, even though we were so tired by the end of that, what was WrestleMania weekend, the ROH show we went to?
Supercard of Honor.
Yes, that Supercard of Honor. By the time we got to his match, I loved that match. That was so much. That was one of my favorite matches of the weekend. But
I always thought he was he has a cool look. He has a cool gimmick. The plague mask is
an amazing technical wrestler.
And yeah, he's just I see money in him. I really do. So I'm happy about it. And I think going to NWA first, even if it's temporary, is just very cool.
Yeah.
That'd be one of those things where if anyone we know got signed to a show and it's they're going to go to AEW, but first they went to NWA or something just for a stop off. And I don't know. That's a feather in your hat, because NWA is still NWA.
It despite the criticisms that we've had previously, it is an iconic. It's so important to the history of professional wrestling.
It's 10 pounds of gold.
Yeah,
It's super important. So that's very, very cool. I also saw an interview with Cody. Speaking of Cody, where they asked him about I think they asked him about Scurll and they asked him about Harper, and he said that, more or less, made it sound like, absolutely, we're definitely going to talk to him.
They would want him, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, he's on a 90-day compete clause, no compete clause, obviously. Mm-hmm. So about February, he could join AEW, and that would just be a coup for them.
Or NWA. Or New Japan.
Or Impact.
Or, anywhere that he wants to go.
Luke Harper is a license to print money.
Yeah.
He's got a ticket to anywhere he wants to go, and I'm so happy for him about that. It's no wonder there's so many people trying to get off the ship right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though WWE is still profitable, clearly. I don't know. It's a weird situation. Last thing. Nope, that was it.
What was your topic, Ace? So how much time we got?
Yeah, that was it. 10 minutes.
Okay, so the thing that I was going to talk about... Oh, yeah, because we skipped down to the... We already did TLC and then the NWA bring back the TV championship. So the thing that I was going to talk about is not looking... Because part of me, when I saw how few stories we had, I was just going to be like, hey, do we want to just do our end of year thing now?
Oh, and we do not have
just
time
pop
for that.
That on us?
No, not pop it on. I would have sent you that message of just hey, what do you if we use the day to get everything together and then we can do that. But then I also saw the thing that because earlier today,
you were like,
hey, I might not be here. And I was like, well, we can't do it.
But it's the last PW of the decade. Dalton Anthony had to be there.
We can't do the end of year thing without Dalton here.
Right.
Then I was like, all right, well. No, because it's that's something that it should be all of us.
Yeah, it should be.
So we might do that as our first show back.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Our first PWU back, not necessarily, because I don't know what days we're staying. Anyway, moving on. the decade is over, and instead of reminiscing of what the best of the year was, what the best of the decade was, what do you think we will be talking about in our hollow, like holographic, just inter-brain messages streaming directly to each other in 2029?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, first let's get the obvious out of the way. Not all of us will be alive. Not all of us will be friends in 2029. Like, I can guarantee one of two things are going to happen.
All right, well, that's someone's the topic. Die, so.
Or someone's going to break away from this friendship, and I think I know who it is.
I finally got signed by a company, guys.
So, anyway, in 2029, what are we going to talk about wrestling-wise?
Yeah. What do you think the story of the decade will be for the next, like... Because right now, and we'll talk more about it, because like I said, that's not what this topic is. I think that the defining thing of this decade is the WWE Network.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Of this network?
Of this decade.
I mean... I think the rise of the independents could be an argument too.
That was my close second. Those are like the discussion things. What do you think the big, like, all right, what is going to be the defining thing for the decade? Is it going to be a person? Do you think it's good? Because I have my guess, and it's pretty morbid.
Yeah, so mine's kind of morbid too.
I think mine is also kind of morbid.
We might all have the same one.
Hit me with it.
The death of Vince McMahon.
Oh shit, that's not what I was thinking. Okay. But damn, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I was going to say John Cena or a Rock scandal. Like something fucking horrible.
I was going to say the death of the independents.
I was kind of going to say something similar of, because history tends to repeat itself, so the independents are rising again and then something will happen and it will just go back
New athletic commissions for every state.
I think AEW won't last to 2029.
Really?
I really don't. And that's not a shot at them. I want to be wrong.
Right, that's not you hoping that they fail.
No, I want everyone to succeed. Mm-hmm. But I think in 2029, Impact will probably still be there. I think Ring of Honor will probably still be there. I think AEW will burn bright and burn out.
I think at this point it is more likely that AEW is around but Ring of Honor isn't.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anyone to go out. Like,
what, no, yeah, that's, you know, not like I, if, right. if that's the terrible situation we're in where someone is going to be gone, I would think it might be Ring of Honor, which sucks because, like, again, the history of independent wrestling would not be what it is today without Ring of Honor.
Well, the only reason I say AEW over Ring of Honor is because Ring of Honor has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2002.
And I think they can survive scandals. They can survive. They can survive. They're like a cockroach, like TNA kind
of. Oh, I think the most recent bout of them is going to be a really tough battle then.
I think it is too, mm-hmm. but I think they can survive it. But I think AEW shot so high and so hard, mm-hmm. that it's kind of like WCW. When they were on fire, everything was great. But then when things started to slip, eventually bad decisions will be made. I think AEW will burn out before 2029. And again, I want to be wrong.
Right.
This is not me going like, oh, I can't wait for AEW to die because I'm a WWE fan. I'm a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think more options and more places for our friends to work is better. But I feel like the guy in Ghostbusters 2 who says the world's going to end on New Year's and Peter Venkman doesn't believe him. I have a strong suspicion that AEW won't last to 2029. And again, internet, before you hate me, I want to be wrong.
It was Valentine's Day.
No, that was the other psychic. The main psychic, the one that actually knew what the fuck he was talking about, because if you remember, Viggo the Carpathian came back on New Year's, and the way they saved him was by singing the New Year's song, breaking the top of that building, and putting him back in the fucking painting. You fucking watch Ghostbusters 2 again before you open your mouth.
I thought you were talking about that one.
So you just spoiled the movie for Cody that he hasn't seen.
God damn it. Now I gotta cut the part out. Thanks, Allie. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off on you. Mm-hmm. I was just angry.
But really what we need to focus back on is, fuck Cody.
What, you talking about AEW?
No, Sandusky. Very much fuck Cody Sandusky. I have him this week in fantasy, and it's the finals, so I got to beat his bitch ass, so I win $50.
So you're going to be fantasizing about beating Cody's ass.
Just pounding it.
Just pounding it. Finally. Pounding
away. From that angle that nobody finds sexy. Yeah, that one.
God.
I love that we got that in sync.
Yeah. So that's mine.
To scale it back then...
But damn, the death of Vince McMahon. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Because he's always been alive.
How old is
he? And honestly, he is
Methuselah.
He likely is going to outlive us all.
Yes, like, definitely me.
Let's be
How
real.
How old is he?
He's in like his 70s, isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, Google it, but I'm pretty sure 72 sounds right.
Yeah, but that's something that is going to change the landscape of professional wrestling.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be, you know, will it be... From what happens with WWE after, whenever Triple H and Stephanie, and I guess potentially Shane, even though he seemed, I
Did we talk about... to take the company.
Well, I don't think he even took the company. Like, he was strictly an on-air, like, authority figure. He didn't really, like, he wasn't really part of, back as part of the company, like, full-time.
Well, he didn't have time
Unless that changed, because I don't think he's working in China anymore.
No, he didn't have time to run it when you're wrestling that much and you're the best in the world.
Okay, like, best in the world. But so, like...
I have a question for you about that. Do you think Vince will die in power? Or do you think eventually his age will lead him to retire and he'll pass away in his own spare time?
I think he will try his damnedest to make sure he doesn't actually have to step down. Mm-hmm. Because this is his life. This is what he loves. It's a company.
You can't
that
take
loves.
That away from him.
Despite the decisions that they make and the creative decisions and say what you will, because that's gonna be the thing of everyone's gonna have to try to like remember him fondly whenever it happens versus all of the shit that we've talked over the last 5 years on the show. But this is his baby. He doesn't want to fail. I don't think he wants people to be upset. Like, I don't think it bothers him that people don't like the stuff that he puts out.
And I know you didn't probably
the fuck
it.
Like his favorite phrase or his favorite phrase is fuck him.
No, the Jim Cornette did on his podcast. They asked him about Vince and they asked him about the Jimmy Jacobs thing where he said Vince is like really quick to like anger and stuff like that. And is that true? And he said Vince, unless does Vince appreciate like the bad comments, does it get to him, etc. And Jim Cornette said, short of someone like printing it out and shoving it in his face, I can guarantee you Vince has never seen a shoot interview. He's never heard a guy going on a podcast. Like, he just doesn't pay attention to these things.
Yeah, no, that's
full steam ahead.
That's Jericho talks about that all the time. Doesn't matter what you did before WWE because Vince didn't watch it.
Right.
Like, that's literally...
Well, yeah, but he's talking... That's in-ring work.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, so, like, that checks out.
But Jimmy Jacobs, I think, did the interview where he said, like, Vince's favorite phrase whenever he sees that people are complaining about a story he's telling is, fuck him.
Well, that's what Dave Chappelle would say.
Because
fuck him.
That's why. And Dalton Anthony.
Yeah.
Say that so much.
Oh, man. I think we'll be doing the same thing when... Because I think there's a... It's getting to that... People are getting to that age where they will die. Ric Flair is not going to survive 30 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And Ric Flair is another one that when he passes, everybody's going to be looking at the good and trying to downplay the bads.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan's the same way.
Boy,
when Hogan passes away, hopefully people will remember him for his accomplishments. And because, I mean, when someone's dead, especially, it's not like Hogan or Flair ever murdered anybody like Jimmy Snuka.
Allegedly.
I think
legally they, allegedly
legally yeah. allegedly but
I think Hogan and Flair and guys like that, they deserve to be remembered for their contributions and less for their like their personal demons. Same thing with Eddie Guerrero, same with a lot of these guys. Like, I know it will be very easy to criticize Hulk Hogan when he dies. It'll be very easy to criticize Ric Flair, Vince McMahon, but like, they're gone.
And I'm not arguing just for the sake of arguing, but when you throw Eddie Guerrero out there, like, it's kind of a different thing. Because Eddie didn't really do anything outwardly wrong to anybody else. Like,
define outwardly wrong. And the only reason I say that is because like I agree with you. But like, Hulk Hogan never did anything outwardly wrong to anybody. He was a politician and he was shitty.
And kind of racist.
But he never hurt anybody. Like, he never beat a black person because he was black. He never spoke about racism.
Neither did Flair.
What's that?
Neither did Flair.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying, like, the only reason I put them in the same part as Eddie is that, like, Eddie had his stuff that if you're being a dick, you could pick apart and go, well, he did these things.
Well, yeah, like, Eddie had, like, backstage stories, depending on who you talked to, where he was, like, an asshole.
Well, I'm talking about, like, drug abuse and stuff like that.
Like, yeah, I mean, that was, like, Eddie's thing. Like, he probably was on too many drugs that probably affected him having a heart attack at the age of 42.
Right.
Like... But to me, like, that is internally destructive. He was never externally destructive. He never, like, that never affected his his public image until post-death, which even then it didn't really affect it because they were just like, fuck, we lost somebody this young. Whereas, like, Hulk Hogan, I don't care what you say. If you are found to be a racist or at one point be a racist, there is at least one person that looked up to you, at least one, if not, well, I mean, Hogan, fucking thousands. There are people that looked up to him. That he destroyed their like love of him. And for some people, like, Hogan's a big fucking deal still. And like, I'm not saying that's unjust. Like, he was a pillar of professional wrestling. But when you like, he shouldn't have said it, but to no fault of his own, that shit got leaked.
It did get leaked, but.
And like, his public image suffered so hard for that because he lost, like, sorry, you, like, there are still going to be people that are like, no, fuck him.
Oh.
And rightfully so. Like,
well, rightfully so. I mean, like, at what point does someone have to repent before you can even give them the benefit of the doubt?
Because none of us. I mean, they can give them the benefit of the doubt, but if they never want to like him again, that's.
Well, that's their prerogative. Like, yeah, I can't criticize anybody.
But do you
know
what I'm saying? Where it's like, Eddie never did anything to hurt his public image.
I mean, I could imagine there could be some kids that looked up to Eddie Guerrero that found out Eddie did all those drugs, and that could destroy their image of him.
Okay, so we're all right.
And I'm not. No, I'm not.
No,
trying
no.
To
I
win.
Mean, you're
I'm
fine. Yeah, like I'm not. Like,
I think my point of this is that everybody's flawed, and Vince too. Like I'm trying to bring Vince into this completely because Vince would probably be. He well
Vince
shit.
Vince is going to be the hard one.
Yeah, because I was about to say he also did nothing that ever like actively hurt people. But yeah, there are some skeletons in there allegedly.
Concussion lawsuits.
Covering up murders, et cetera, et cetera.
Allegedly.
There is a lot of stuff that Vince is like, it's harder to justify Vince as a good guy.
Steroid scandal?
Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty bad.
He got acquitted, but he did that shit.
Right.
Just in like the wrestling business, wasn't it? Vince.
He was the one that turned it on his ear. Yeah.
Down Vince, pretty much the territory.
Vince yeah, he broke destroyed every him. Rule of yeah. professional wrestling.
So
there's going to be a lot of people celebrating when Vince McMahon dies.
Which like, I don't want to see, like, personally.
No, because.
So, Asa, do you want to get in on this?
No, I'm good. Because you're right. At 2029, we will still fucking be talking about Hulk Hogan.
We switched to Vince.
Hulk was the smallest part of this.
Like, I just realized that you haven't said anything in a while, and this was your topic. And
yeah,
because
I don't
like
have anything to add without the Hogan debate.
I think we're all making good points.
But I think we're at McMahon now, though.
Because I was going to move it from decade to just next year, since that would be a lot easier to kind of try to call.
So what do you think the big story
will
be next
year? But with Vince, it is going to be one of those things where it's, you know, life is complicated. There is no yes or no. Like, I do think that just because someone is dead does not mean that they get a free pass to be free of all criticisms. But at the same time, like, I don't think it's necessarily right to celebrate anyone's death. Like, you're right. There are going to be people who are going to be making jokes and actively celebrating it.
And
but at the same time,
to quote the great Vince McMahon, fuck them.
There are very few people that I have outwardly celebrated their death. But even people I don't like,
we celebrate that shit.
Osama bin Laden.
We celebrate that
like,
shit.
Like, there are people that when they say, we killed this person or this person died, I go, good.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, none of them would
none
ever
them
be on that
list. None
of them
deserve that. Like, I'm
Jim
sorry.
Cornette wouldn't be on that list.
No.
No.
No, anyone who's an entertainer, like, that you hate because of,
shit,
like,
yeah.
because of what they've done for entertainment.
If
like,
you're a tyrant and killed a bunch of people?
That said, like,
fuck 'em.
If it's someone who like had direct contact, like there, I'm willing to bet that there will be people who have a legitimate stake to be able to say, you know, yay, when Vince passes.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
I, you know, and but it's just I'm not one of those people, and I'm not gonna, I won't celebrate it for sure.
I won't.
Because you do also have to, because again, it's black and white, or it's not black and white. It's a gray area of you can respect what the person has done for wrestling and like for this medium. Because there's absolutely no taking away Vince's influence on wrestling.
Right.
Professional wrestling as it is now would be 100% different if it even was still around.
If not for Vince.
If it wasn't for Vince McMahon.
It's like when people talk about Star Wars and everyone makes fun of George Lucas and, oh, fuck him, he's terrible. Mm-hmm. His ideas are the worst. So glad George Lucas, what a joke. But it's like, okay, but without George Lucas, there would be no Star Wars.
Right.
Like, and you can't celebrate Star Wars without celebrating the man who created it.
And everyone's going to have their own line. Everyone's going to have their own metric of where they fall on. When you look at, can you separate the art from the artist?
Right.
Because we know people who, or like we've seen people online, I don't know if we necessarily know them in person, who will still like say that Chris Benoit belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we don't really. I don't think we know anybody that believes that.
I mean, like,
I'm sure we do. They just haven't said it out loud.
Well, yeah, maybe we haven't heard it. I don't know. But like, but you know, you have people who can separate that level of. It's the same thing with, you know, it's gone.
Tom Hanks.
Ultimate Warrior.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ultimate Warrior. People who still celebrate, you know, the Warrior Award and everything like that, despite, you know, all of the terrible things that he said and believed.
But I truly believe that there is a level you get to where it no longer becomes like you're invalid when it comes to celebrating you. Ultimate Warrior is a gray as fuck area because he's like Hogan. He said some things that were absolutely terrible, and I am very critical of it. But then you hit a level of Chris Benoit where he literally murdered his son
right.
and his wife.
And, I'm not saying you were doing that. I'm not comparing the two.
Right.
But everyone has their own internal metric for separating the person
right.
from the character, and also like a sliding scale. Because I don't think anyone would say that what Chris Benoit did and what Ultimate Warrior said are even remotely on the same plane.
But
they're not playing the same game at all. But you also will have those people who, you know, who think, yeah, but that was because that wasn't Ultimate Warrior as the Ultimate Warrior. Like, I mean, well, legally, it was Jim Helwig. But he wasn't in the face paint, you know, shaking ropes while he was saying bigoted stuff.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing. Like,
well, there were no ropes around.
I don't think Chris Benoit was in his wrestling gear. Like,
but you know, you could also say with Benoit that the only reason he murdered his wife and child was because of the wrestling.
And
because he had all of the brain damage
and
right.
Yeah.
So
the brain of a 70-year-old dementia patient.
Even Benoit, I feel like there's a gray area.
Yeah, I would definitely say so.
We know so much more about that stuff now that Benoit could have been saved. His family could have been saved. Was Benoit in his right mind when he did it, et cetera, et cetera. Like, everything's a gray area except for, like, Hitler.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck
that.
That's one of the few black and white areas.
I'm perfectly okay with Hitler dying.
Fuck him.
Yeah. If he did die. I was reading about it the other day.
Oh, is he in Cuba?
Venezuela. You know,
Venezuela, thank you.
The big rumor that Hitler, you know, making that comeback, cloned.
Oh, cloned into who?
They cloned Hitler.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mecha Hitler?
Yeah, he's coming. All right.
Mecha Hitler.
What a better way to end the last episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted of the decade.
With Mecha Hitler.
Which, surprisingly, we've done Pro Wrestling Unscripted, because it was our first show ever.
Yeah.
For half a decade almost.
Well, you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Myself. To look back on the past.
You were the last man standing.
Myself, the dearly departed Hunter Hendricks, because he's not on the show anymore.
RIP.
Which means he's dead to us.
He's kind of on the show-ish. Louis Benson. Which, congratulations, Louis, if you're listening. Really proud of the work you're doing over at AEW with, like, the Dark Order stuff. That's very cool. Zach Price, who may or may not be dead. I'm actually not sure. And I think Jordan was there. No, Jordan was not there at that first episode. It was just us four. So that's where we started, and here's where we end with the four of us. The last Pro Wrestling Unscripted of the decade, and we're talking about Hitler. It's just the kind of quality programming you can come to expect from Podzilla 1995. 85?
1990. Well, it's a new decade.
It's a new decade. We're moving it up.
God, that'd be so funny.
We should rebrand.
So what you were talking about, like if you like you taking time away
when I leave,
when you leave, then it becomes Podzilla 1995, and then when I leave, it's Podzilla 2005,
and you leave it to the next generation. Yeah. See, that's it. So this may be my last Pro Wrestling Unscripted ever, which is insane to think about.
It's not gonna be.
It could be.
You're gonna be here in 2 weeks.
Is that when the new year is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess wrestling fans.
I mean, that's what our next show is.
Hey, wrestling fans, I guess we'll see you next decade.
Oh, shit. Are we going to do a show on the New Year's Day?
Nope.
So we're not going to be back for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of time to get this best of 2019 bullshit taken care of.
Ooh, yeah, because if we're not doing a show on New Year's Eve, then that would be the next Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
No, it's New Year's Day.
New Year's Day is.
Oh, we could do a show.
That's right. It is the first. I'm fine with doing a show.
Yeah, because I mean, you get drunk New Year's Eve. New Year's Day. I never understood why people get off for New Year's Day or like. Places close late or early.
It's a holiday. It's to celebrate the
not at Walmart.
The new year. Because yeah, we will close that'll be the busiest day of the year for us. So we'll be there all day on the 31st. But then we are closed on the 1st.
Which is
funny because when people yell like, well, how come I got to pay interest and penalty? You weren't even open yesterday. Well, it would have been late yesterday too. So
fuck them.
We'll be closed early both days. So
because you say so.
Because I say so. Because I think it would be stupid to take the entire day off. But anyway, that's talk for another time. For the past 5 years, you've welcomed us into your home. And as we head into the new decade here at Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
If you're a new listener, turn off now. This isn't for you.
This is
where were you when we were nothing? You don't get to just leech onto our success like this, damn it.
CJ.
Why am I Vince McMahon?
Zane's son is very confused. He's like, I'm only four.
Fuck you.
Be born sooner, nerd.
So for you that have listened to us for all 4 years, 4.5, 5 years almost, thank you. Thank you. We spent half a decade together, and Podzilla 1985 looks forward to spending another decade with you. We won't, but we look forward to it. And you can catch me on my next podcast that I'm starting next year called Mecha Podzilla 1985. It's the same as this, but with less interesting people.
That was going to be Mecha Hitler 1985.
Mecha Hitler 1985?
Yeah, that's a better name.
I think it's taken, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I think NPR owns that.
Shit.
I thought that was a porn star. Mecha Hitler 1985.
Or NPR.
Good night, everybody. Asa, take us out one last time.
Podzilla1985.com. You can go back to listen to that first episode. You can go back to listen to the 5 years worth of Podzilla. Facebook
all the wrestling news.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Twitter.com/Podzilla1985. And then, of course, Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. $1 gets you all the pre-shows, past, present, future. Well, not all of them. Unless you like stop subscribing, then you don't get the future ones. So just $1 forever for the rest of your life.
I don't think they get the past ones either.
Yeah, you do. I think you do lose access to those.
So you don't get anything.
So yeah, just give us the dollar forever.
Allie, as we get out of here for one last time of the decade, remember, Podzilla 1985, kids, they don't die, they...
What?
No, okay, wait, hang on. Before I know you're doing a bit. The last one of the decade. It's 20... Last one. One final Braun Strowman impression to take us out, to lead us into 2020 with a charge, with energy, with fire. The mighty roar
of 1,000 wins!
Braun. Oh! Yeah!